Lord, there is just so much in our country and all, in parts of the world, and different things going on, and all the fires in California, and calm stuff down out there where they can get control of it and show people how to get away from it. And, oh, Lord, speak to each of us this morning. Father, let me just go formal, okay, for a minute here. It just, Lord, we all know it, but it helps to get in touch with it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't have any righteousness of my own to clothe myself in. I'm clothed in Jesus. I come because of that, being in Jesus. I come boldly before your throne, Father, Ancient of Days. I petition you that you would pour out your will today, that by your Holy Spirit, you would fill our minds, our hearts, our being, our spirit man might rise up and hear you and connect with you. Lord Jesus, you are seated at the place of all authority. Son of God, Son of Man, we bless you today. Thank you for obeying. Thank you for walking it all out. Thank you. Thank you for being and doing all that you have done and all that you are. In your name we pray. Amen. So this is 11/11. Today is Veterans Day. And whether we got in wars that we should have gotten into, or we got in noble wars that we should have gotten into, we had people lose their lives in the name of our country and permanently changing their family, their children, their grandchildren, whoever it affected, and our country's chosen to honor them. 11/11 right now. Oh, it's 11/11. 11/11/11. Oh, okay, right now. So, right now, Lord, we thank you for our country. We thank you for those that have served in our military. We thank you for all those that serve them. Thank you, Lord. Bless them today. Now, this is the seventh Sunday before Christmas. Yes.
I just want everybody to remember that this is not an American holiday. Veterans Day, we named it that. But this is 100 years, right this hour, 100 years since the armistice ending the First World War. And it is celebrated in Western Europe. And in some ways, it's a bigger deal than we do. Mm-hmm.
Good, Brooke. Yeah. Yeah, this president is over there, and the weather kept him from going because of the winds. What's that now? Oh. I wish I had it. Hair. So, Jamie, whatever I say, and if whatever you're going to say about the countdown to Christmas, because you start Advent, don't you? Don't you speak on the first one of that? So I didn't bring any candles or anything today. I thought about a candle, and then I thought, I'm going to shake Jamie up if I do that. And So if I say anything that belongs to you, you can just tell another tale version of it, okay? So this is Matthew 6, 9 through 3 for a minute. Seven Sundays before Christmas. New American Standard. And in Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is the Lord's Prayer. And I hate sometimes repeating things. You've all heard it many times going, well, we shouldn't call it the Lord's Prayer. We should call it the Disciples' Prayer. Because really, the Lord was teaching them how to give them a sample of something because they wanted to know how to pray. So he says in verse 9, well, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. This honoring of your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us, you know, our bread for tomorrow, really. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That always hangs me up because I'm just always getting into trouble. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. And then there's a little piece that's added on that we don't have in the early manuscripts, but I certainly like it. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let me go back up to that verse 10 for a minute. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have got all kinds of... you know how we do as Christians. We take the actual scriptures and then we kind of put our spin on it of how we use it. And I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. I'm just saying that we do this. You know, this has been going on for a while. This, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. We have songs about it. I think Todd sang one, didn't you, Todd? One of them about that this morning. And people write books on it. Movements are probably based on it. But the simplicity of what he's really saying is where I would personally so like to be. And I so can be all over the page except right here. I do run from shiny object on this side of the will of God to the other ditch on the other side, back and forth, crossing the center line of God's will as I go down the highway of life. Maybe none of you have this behavior, but I have this behavior. and it's so simple. He has a kingdom. He has a will. We want that done here, like what he's thinking about, what's in his heart at the throne of heaven. It is so simple. And I can so miss my part in it. Yeah. I just do. I saw a little piece of CBS News. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't know. It was really tender. The news person had met a guy who was going back to his neighborhood after the firefighters had said you can go back. And I don't know if you saw this. And she's walking with him. He's older. And he can see. He's close enough to see where his house was because his house is burned down. And he stopped. And she's real tender. She's not being so much a reporter. She's just being a person with him. And she's just saying, are you okay? And he says, well, we all live, we made it. We're, you know. But that was my house. I lived there a long time. He says, I'm in shock. She says, I know, you must be. He says, 2.5 hours ago, I was there. 2.5 hours ago, my life that I have built up on this ridge overlooking the Pacific Ocean was there. 2.5 hours later, it's gone. It's destroyed. Our spiritual bread, give us today tomorrow's bread. Because our lives is just like this guy's life. 2.5 hours from now, your life might be permanently changed forever. 2.5 hours from now. You might remember right now us talking about that in 2.5 hours, going, yeah, we said that 2.5 hours ago at church. Isn't that weird? Yesterday I was in Walmart. I was looking for something over in the where they sell vitamins and stuff, you know. And I was trying to, it's hard to find stuff when there are all these labels there and there, and you need your glasses changed. You know, I've had my eyes checked 3 times and have still not changed my glasses. It's really making a difference. Now, it's back to the days like when you go down the interstate and I know there's a big sign coming and it's telling me what to do, but I have no idea what the sign's saying because it's all blurry. And then eventually the blurriness, what I'm hoping is as the blurriness becomes clear and I can read it, I have time to make a decision. That's getting closer and closer. I really need to change my lens. So, I'm looking, and an older gentleman, 10, 20 years older than me, is walking by. And he's walking by, and sometimes kind of walk around him because he's looking for something, and he says hello to me. And I say hello back. And then in a moment, now he's moved down here a little bit, and he makes another statement to me. It was a very nice statement, whatever he was making. I can't tell you what it was because I was trying to see around him. And then he makes a third statement. And it was a little bit more profound statement. I can't tell you what it was, but it was more profound. But I was still trying to see around him. And then he leaves. So yesterday afternoon when I start reading this passage about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I saw his face. And I had to say, I don't know what your will was right then. I was too busy looking around him to really be present in the 3 sentences that he said to me. To really be there with someone. There was probably a divine encounter set up, and I just totally looked around it, trying to look around him. Just missed it. I miss him, 1,000 to 1 times. I have trouble being in the moment, right that moment. Right that moment. I've been involved in that the Holy Spirit set up like deliverance for somebody from something demonic. Maybe 2 or 3 dozen times. And 3/4 of those started by something that stood out. Something that this person was saying to me didn't fit. And normally I would be that like looking around this guy. But in that moment, the Spirit would go, did you hear that sentence? What? Did you hear what the sentence the girl, that guy said? Yeah? That didn't fit. Yeah? I guess you're right. That doesn't fit. And then they'd say something. Then now I'm paying a little more attention, you know. And then something else would happen. And then in a few minutes, it was turning into, you know, in my head. I'm not saying to them. I think they're demonized. I think they got something, some the other personality that's in there with them and that God wants to undoubtedly, you know, what do you mean to do about this? And sometimes it's make an appointment, get you a team of people. And other times it was right that minute, let's just do something right now. Let's just see if there's a way we can get rid of this right now. And so after that's all over and I've gone home and I think, wow, had you not pointed out that little behavior physically they did or that part of that sentence that they said or didn't say or an interruption in a sentence. You know, one of them, I've told you all different stories. I'm sure I'll tell you. Like one guy was talking to me and he's just standing in my front yard. We're just having a conversation. He's come because he and his wife are having connection problems. And he's been talking about that and standing out in my front yard. And then he starts talking about his mother-in-law. And he talks about his mother-in-law for a couple of sentences. And then about the third sentence, he says, I hate my mother-in-law at about that level. And he goes on, he says some more things about his wife. And then out of the blue that doesn't fit in the paragraph about his wife, he says, I hate my mother. It's doubled it. I hate my mother-in-law. I go, wow, he's really strong about his mother-in-law. And he says some more things about he and his wife. Yeah, you know, we have trouble talking to each other. We have trouble. I don't remember what he said, but something like that. You know, he's doing that. And then the third one, I hate my mother-in-law. I go, uh-oh, I think. And then there he's got a friend, best friend with him. And the best friend's staying there. And he says the fourth time then, right on top of that, I can't stand my mother-in-law. What are we talking about? And his friend went, he actually literally moved over a step. He went, what was that? Because he knows his friend. He knows his friend doesn't like lose the track, you know. I said, well, I think your buddy here might have a critter. I was trying to be like my friends in New Orleans, and they use word, talk like that. But in North Alabama, that doesn't fit, you know. And so this other guy, he was going to go into the Navy the next day. He was scheduled to go into the Navy. And he says, a critter? Wait. He was from an outer part of our county. A critter? What do you mean by a critter? Well, in some circles, some circles we call them demons. Well, when you said demon, the other guy who had interrupted his sentence says, demon? You think I got a demon? I don't know. Well, go get rid of it. I said, do you have an hour or so? Sure. Let me call my friend Nori, see if Nori's at home. Nori? I got someone in the front yard here. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I can be down there in 10 minutes. Okay, we'll just hang out. Thus began an evening of excitement and fun and strangeness that that was just the strange little thing that just changed. It was no bigger, no less than me missing the conversation with a guy at Walmart yesterday. Yeah.
That makes some.
I just want to have the. It's like a walkie-talkie, you know? It's like the little, you know, where you turn down just enough that you could, if somebody talks on it, you know? Hey, good buddy, 10-4, you know, it comes on. not enough static that it's always going, but that, you know, it's down. You got the, you got it down just enough that when it goes, jam, yeah, yeah, splat. Excuse me. Yes. Over. You're going, I don't know if this is God, but there's a hand. Y'all look behind you. There's a hand that is, there's a hand, and the finger is writing, mini, mini tekel parcel. You've been weighed in the full and found wanting. Do you suppose that we should pay attention to that hand that just appeared and disappeared? Yeah, from the Bible. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if all of us could be in the moment right that minute? Not condemning ourselves, but just be in the moment. Just get in it. And if we miss it, just go, ooh, miss that one. Do it. Yeah, let's just keep doing this until the odd thing that you wanted me to see stands out. Anywhere from being how I am today to being John the Baptist. You know? If I was standing beside him, I'm sure John would have said, look, a dove. I'd go, what? Where? What? Look, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You talk about that guy walking over the hill there? Him! Yes. That I would get it. I would get it. I would be present enough to do my part. Not that I, you know, not that we have to have a part, but that God, our Father, loves to get us involved in the family business. I don't know where this thing is going with the Freedom Church, but at least we didn't say, no, we don't have time. It may be great. It may be dull. It may be exciting. It may be life-changing. It may, who knows? Who knows when y'all are setting up, you know, and I brought the grandchildren in, we're feeding them in this room, and y'all are setting up for a worship circle. You don't know it after I leave. Like, maybe you'll call me the next day or send me a note going, that was the most spiritually anointed worship circle we have ever been a part of so far. You don't know. You just don't know. Any moment might be the thing. You can't make that happen, but you can be present. You can be present and under your breath or in your head or whatever and go, "What is there anything you want me to do? Do you want me to walk across the room and pray for that person? You want me to stand here not doing, I mean, not going is just as useful if that's what the Spirit says. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. But we can spin that. Or we can take other churches that have God spoken to them about that in a certain way and try to make it that way and miss today to what he wants us to do today. If you had known John Wimber, I could have gone and tried to do it just like John Wimber, and it wouldn't have been his will right then because it wasn't what he wanted. Just name someone famous at ministry, and then you just go try to do it the way you saw them do it. But if that's not what he's doing, it's just you trying to get a hold of that. Many will say, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. They really thought they were really doing the right thing. They were proud of it. Can you, it, That just makes you kind of shaking your boots. Like, what? Just be standing there, and you say that to Jesus, and he says, "I don't know you." Yes, that's right. I can watch Benny Hinn all day, but I don't have to do that way. I was raised watching Oral Roberts on a black and white TV. Him sitting in a chair in a white shirt with his tie undone, sitting there, and thousands going by, and him praying for him. And sometimes whatever I do, it was exactly the will of God, and there was an effect. Sometimes it was exactly the will of God, and I saw no effect then, but heard about it later that there was an effect. The news is going crazy with the guy that's had the brain tumor, and he says. Yeah, but you know, God's just let this happen because something's going to happen about this. And his doctor says, well, that might be true, but we're going to go ahead and schedule a surgery for you. They take the x-ray the day before the surgery and the brain tumor is gone. And they have to write stuff like, well, you know, sometimes things happen, we don't understand them. Like saving face, you know, as a doctor. Like, they've been interviewing him last night. He was on all these news things yesterday. You can go look it up, this guy. The before and after pictures, they're. I want to go, wow, the same thing would be with Jesus. Well, you know, just sometimes this happens. Dead bodies are inside things, you know, probably with the temperature inside of that place or something Lazarus ate earlier, and just Jesus happened to be passing by and told him to come out, and, well, Lazarus came out alive, and he was probably really still alive. We just thought he was dead, or, you know, we just don't understand these things, do we? Apparently not. just we're not any better than they are. Was it something your mother or your father did? And the guy says back, look, I was blind. All I know is that Jesus prayed for me and now I see. You know? So then they go ask his parents. Was your son really, you know, they go, well, you know, we don't eat throwing out temple, so we don't know. Go ask him. Check with our son. What do we know? We weren't there. We don't get in trouble with the leaders of the synagogue. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's really that simple. Can you erase all that you've heard about it, taught about it, and just take it down to just like you've never seen that before? Pray then in this way: Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's just where you can hear the simplicity of that, you hear the humility of that. Give us today tomorrow's bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Don't lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It certainly is. Your Father is God Almighty. Thank you. Yeah, that's just part of it. Just part of it. I mean, he's the Lamb. He makes payment for us. But he came teaching and preaching and healing. And that healing was saying, hey, you know? Ah, that's good. And to me, all the disciples, of all of them, Peter is my favorite because Peter is just such a doofus. He just does. He just said, I mean, isn't that your favorite sentences? He just does stupid stuff. Over and over and over he does stupid stuff.
I can so relate with him,
though. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And he wants to do those things, and he just trips himself up all the time.
Oh, yeah. If I look at John's life, I just go, John's just so loving. I just don't love you as much as John does. I love that John does.
Yes.
But Peter's the one.
Yes.
Peter's the one. Oh, Peter's the one. You know? You know? Yes. Yeah, there's room for me. There's room for me. I can do that.
Yeah.
You know? There's just so many wanting to know God like you know God, and they need someone like you that's willing to mess up in front of them.
Yes.
To make it really real. Going, wow, they just look like an idiot. And yeah, because there's room for me to do something silly and crazy and something. How about Luke 1, since it's seven Sundays? Luke 1, 26. You know, Elizabeth has become pregnant with John. And she's 6 months into it, roughly. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee, called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. Or woman richly blessed, the Lord is with you." She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering, what kind of salutation is this? This is not your normal greetings, you know, back then and there where they live. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Yeshua, Jesus, which means YHWH saves. Yahweh, which we put in vowels, but there aren't in there. The name that they wouldn't dare pronounce. The name that is so holy that we don't say the word, we just write these vowels down. That name saves. That's what his name is going to be. An archangel from God has come and told a teenager that she is going to have the Savior of everybody. The difference between the position of the only Son of God of the universe, that high, lofty, noble, glorious person and position, and connect that with a teenager, just a teenage girl, so far removed, and yet that's what's going to happen. For 32, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. What a profound thing to tell a teenager. And Mary says to the angel, in normal teenage, Jewish teenage girl talk, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I'm not married. How can this be? She's just saying something really normal. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, or wow, hear this. Even your relative Elizabeth, who's old, who's really old, right, has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren, that was like her nickname in the culture or their little village, is now in her sixth month. Your old aunt, your really old aunt, is 6 months into carrying a child. 37 for nothing will be impossible with God. What an encounter, what a talk between an archangel and a teenager. Verse 38, and Mary says, behold, or okay, the bond slave of the Lord, permanent slave forever in their culture. They know what a bond slave is. This is how I see myself. Forever. Forever. Doing the Lord's will. May it be done to me according to your word. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth with me and you as it is in heaven. That was the teenager's answer. Zach had said earlier, Zacharias, when the angel told him about John, well, how can this be? And, you know, somewhere in the tone of his reply, he says, guess what, buddy? You're going to be deaf and dumb until this baby comes. Because you had just doubted the word of God. And I stand before him. You have messed up and you're going to be put on the bench for a little while. We're not in competition, Jamie. Anything you want to do on Advent Sunday, you can do all these same verses again. Don't let this hold you back just because I went there, because I wasn't going, oh, I'm going to jump the gun on Jamie because I know she's up on the first of Advent. Oh, And now, let's just go a little bit further and read the Magnificat, as they call it, as they've nicknamed it. The Magnificat is like the Holy Spirit. It's like the Wittenberg door, but more, where Luther nails his 95 thesis on the door and declares spiritually war. Doesn't know he's declaring war. He's just saying, hey, here's 95 statements that I think are correct. And this one monk is now standing against all of Rome with this door in Germany. The Holy Spirit's declared, has made a statement by nailing it sort of to the door with this teenager. And this door is the door of the rich and the powerful and the smart and the rulers of this world. Let me back up. Verse 39, now at that time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, you know, her aunt. And Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings and the baby in her womb, which is John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice, said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. How is it that it's happened to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. The anointing has come upon Elizabeth. Elizabeth is prophesying out of her brain, out of her mind. She's just out of her head for a moment. John, who's 6 months ahead of Jesus, even though he's not been born, he's already connecting. The Spirit's already there on him. Just hearing the voice of the Anointed One, his mom, is enough to make the baby prophet that's not been born yet, 3 months to go, go crazy about it. And Mary says, yes. Yes, please do. Great, great, Amy. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul exalts in the Lord. Spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard humble state his Lord. And this time on, all generations will count me blessed. And holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoken to our fathers and to Abraham and his descendants forever. This is a declaration of war. Under the anointing, Mary has said what is in the Holy Spirit's heart, and it's a declaration of war. This is the opening shot. When Moses came, the enemy knew that there was a deliverer. He talked to Pharaoh. Pharaoh killed all the boy babies under age 2. But they hid Mary, but they hid Moses in the basket in the reeds and spared the deliverer. When Herod hears that a child has been born in Bethlehem, He will fulfill the word that was given a long time ago by the prophet, that Rachel is crying for her children and can't be comforted because they are no more. He kills all the boy children in Bethlehem. I cannot help but believe that our part as a nation, whatever that is, that the enemy has decided in 1973 to start doing away with as many of a generation as they could by making the killing of the unborn. That abortion is not just something. It's not just some political thing. It's not something with this group or that group. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. He's trying to keep a generation of people from coming to their place. And it's interesting because there's a higher proportion of the lowly that their lives are taken. More of them than others. So I think that's the kind of people he uses. A nobody little girl, teenager from a nowhere place, so that she will be the mother of the Messiah. So there's a war going on, and it continues across the planet. And this will not end until he sets down, puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, and the king comes back. And the king's coming when Father says it's time. He can't wait to come. Scriptures then was saying that the bride and the Holy Spirit both say, come. Maranatha, come quickly. We are waiting for the end of the war. And there's going to be a lot more casualties between here and there. And I don't know what the here and there will be, like this guy coming back 2.5 hours later. 2.5 hours before he had a house and now it's burned to the ground. So it's kind of like two unborn babies, John the Baptist and Jesus, are used to declare war and to pronounce victory before anyone's even seen them. It's an amazing story. Take comfort in this. We need to comfort each other in this. Okay? That was strong. I'm about like, got something to hold on to. That was good, Amy. Thank you. All of you. All of the little people. All of you. Wow, that was good. Some of you need prayer. They're going over there. Not that you have to go over there, but that's a good place to go. And if somebody starts saying, I hate my mother, and then they go, what are we talking about? Well, y'all go somewhere else and work. Okay. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Let's keep whatever of this is yours. Let the other blow away. Thank you for this Lord's Day, this Veterans Day, this 11-11.